And so for this sermon, we're looking back on the last decade. And then for our next sermon, we'll be looking forward next week. So this week, we're looking back. But the Psalms, the book that we're turning to, the Psalms were the hymn book of the people of God. So these songs were made to be sung by a congregation. And so you would sing with the people of God, encouraging one another, praising God together. And so this psalm tells the story of God's faithfulness, his covenant loyalty, or what we might call his steadfast love. So the context here is probably after return from exile, the people of Israel are singing about all the ways that God has brought them through many difficulties and has saved them. So we're going to read Psalm 107. We're going to read the whole thing. Let's pray now as we come to study God's Word together. Oh, Father, where else have we to go? For you alone have the words of life. And Lord, as we do a simple thing of reading a text and seeking to understand it, we pray that you would indeed change us. We pray that the Holy Spirit would use these words in your word, and that we might be encouraged in the gospel. And so we ask, Lord, for clarity of speech for me and for all of us, humbleness of heart to hear and receive and understand what it is that you would have us to learn and to do. And so we pray for your help at this time in Christ's name. Amen. So Psalm 107 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way, till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. He raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things, and let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's holy and perfect word. On one occasion, the Lord Jesus met 10 lepers as he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he told them to go on their way, and as they went, they realized they were healed. And they all continued on except for one who came back to say thank you and to praise God. That one man was a Samaritan. He wasn't really in the in crowd. He wasn't what you might call a true Christian. He's one of the outsiders. But he knew that he had to say thank you. But it's true, isn't it? Perhaps, especially for Christians, that we can be so quick to move on without saying thank you. But it's true that how you tell a story matters. So we're here at the end of the year or at the end of the decade. Depending on how you count decades, I would say we've come to the end. And so it's an opportunity we can look back and we can tell stories of what's happened to us in the past year or in the past decade. But what kind of story will you tell about your past? How will you tell the story of your life? And are you able to tell that story in a gospel way? How will you tell your story? Is your story a story of you being a sufferer? And so as you think of your story, it is always the sin of others against me. Will it be the story of a failure? Somebody who remembers all the ways that he has or she has stuffed up in the past. Or perhaps some of us tell stories that always start with, if only. If only I had married this person, or if only I hadn't got married, or if only I got that job or didn't take that job, or whatever it is. Or perhaps you might tell a story of your past as one where you were so determined and you have overcome obstacles. But the way that we tell our stories, what we emphasize, what we leave out, what we keep in, have an enormous impact about the way that we see ourselves and see the world around us. And so it's important for human beings to flourish that they tell stories well. And this is true of individuals and of churches, of countries, of cities, of the world. In the West today, we have more than perhaps any society has ever had. And yet we know that there are many issues that plague us. And perhaps one of the reasons, I think, is poor storytelling. So do you understand how the gospel fits in with your story? Do you see the gospel shape in your story? See, if we don't tell our stories in the light of God's big story and of God's steadfast love, then our stories won't end with thanks. They won't end with praise, and we'll be telling the story wrong. And so my question for you this morning is this: are you able to tell a truly thankful story? Are you able to tell a story of your past that ends with praise and thankfulness to God? So the big idea this morning is simply this: we must tell a thankful story of God's steadfast love. We must tell a thankful story of God's steadfast love. If you don't believe me, that's fine. Look in your Bibles in verse 1. See what the psalmist says. He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he's redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." So there is a command here. Give thanks to the Lord. Praise his name, because his steadfast love, his covenant loyalty, never fails. God is faithful to his people. So let everyone who's been redeemed, that is, bought back, everybody who's been delivered from trouble, should give thanks to God. And then if you drop down to verse 43, you have bookends, the start and the finish in the same way. Verse 43, "Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord." In other words, wisdom, if you want to be someone who has skill in the art of godly living, then you should attend to these things. You should consider God's steadfast love. Now, you might be getting a little bit worried at this point if you're in a difficult place and you're wondering if you're going to be beaten over the head with, "Just be thankful, just be happy, positive thinking, ignore your troubles, be happy." And we have to be careful that we don't sing songs to someone with a heavy heart. And so I'm not here saying don't lament. Obviously, a lot of the Psalms are Psalms of lament, where we're encouraged to grieve the terrible things that have happened to us in our lives. But at the same time, we need to also take seriously what this Psalm teaches. So the gospel frees us to grieve well, but also to praise God and thank God well. So the way that the psalm is structured, you have five sections. There's these four groups of people, and then the last is a more general section. There are four stories, four or five, depending on how you count them. Four stories that show us thankfulness. And if you're a Christian, you'll find these stories familiar, not because you've been in prison or that you've been in trouble at sea, but you'll see the shape of the gospel that every true Christian says, "I understand that. I see that. And I see that in my life." So, we must tell a thankful story of God's steadfast love. Let's get into the text. In verses 4 to 9, what you see is God is showing steadfast love to wanderers. And each of these stories follows a pattern. You start out with a people with a problem. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. And so they have this problem. They're lost out in the desert. They can't find their way to a city. They are hungry and thirsty. Their soul or their life is dying away within them. They have no strength within themselves. It's a terrifying thing when you're out somewhere a long way from the water or from food and you're losing energy and you can't put anything in to get it back. And this is what it's like for them. Their soul is fainting away. They are hopeless. They are lost. That's their problem. And then in verse 6, they cry out to God. Verse 6, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress." So you have a problem, you have them that they then cry out to God. And then thirdly, God saves them. He delivers them. Verse 7, "He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in." So this is the story of these people. Thirsty, and now they have found water. They have found food. God has delivered them. And then what must they do? What are they instructed to do? in verse 8 and 9. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills with good things. So these people who have been thirsty ought to give thanks to God. I don't know if you've ever miscalculated the amount of water that you should bring and wrongly counted on tarns, alpine lakes, to be filled with water, but you find that you get quite fixated as the day goes on and it's hot. You're getting fixated on water. You want it. You need it. And then when you finally get to a creek and you plunge your head in the creek and you drink water, you're just full of thankfulness and joy. This water that brings life and energy again to your eyes. And that's the picture here of people who have found water. But what about us? So often we forget to tell a story of thanks. And we forget that even the water that we drink, the food that we eat, comes from a good God who loves to bless this creation that he has made. And so that cup of cold water on a hot day is from God, and he should be thanked for it. So it's important that we remember to tell thankful stories for when we have been filled. It's no accident that Christians for centuries have said thanks before they have eaten and drunken at meals. That's what Christ did. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So God satisfies, he shows steadfast love to wanderers. That's the first section. The second section from verse 10 and down to 16. You have another group of people. This word some comes up again. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. So now he is describing prisoners. God shows steadfast love to prisoners, those who are locked up in chains. Now they have rebelled against the words of God. They have turned away from God, and now they have found themselves locked up, perhaps in the exile. They are prisoners, physically, shackled. It's very common in those days, if you're a prisoner, you don't just get to sit around. You have back-breaking work to do. And so they have hard labor. But it's not just that their bodies are bowed down. It says their hearts are bowed down. They are depressed. There is no one to help, no one to free them, and they fall down. So that's the problem again. And then number two, they cry out. Secondly, verse 13, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Now it's interesting to note here that these prisoners, it's their own fault, right? It says they spurned the counsel of the Most High, and now they're in prison. But what we notice in the Psalms is that even though you got yourself in this mess, that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to cry out to God for mercy. And so that's what they do. They cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord delivers them from their bondage. In verse 14, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He burst their bonds apart. God has freed them. They were completely trapped. They had no power, no ability to save themselves. Their own resources were at an end, and God delivers them. And so then what would you say that these people ought to do now that they have been delivered? Well, look with me in your Bibles, verse 15 and 16. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. So God frees these prisoners. He delivers them, and so they are to be thankful because God shows steadfast love, loyalty to his people. Now, I've been into prison at various points to visit people, and there's always a when the gates clang behind you, and then you go through another set of gates and they clang behind you, there's just this slight feeling of unease because you know that that man behind the desk, you're entirely at his mercy. If he decides for some reason that you can't get out, and he's not supposed to because you're just visiting someone, but you have this uncomfortable feeling of, there would be nothing I could do. If these guys decided they weren't going to let us out, well, you know, there's no way I'm getting out of here. And that's what these people faced, except it wasn't just, you know, the 1 hour of visiting. It's for them, their lifetime. And perhaps some of you have been in prison and you've been locked in there, and you know what it's like to go into a room and to have someone lock the door and say, you will come out when I decide you can come out. You will be freed when I decide that you're allowed out of here. That's got to do something to your soul and to your heart. That's a challenging situation. Well, so often we are so slow to tell a thankful story. We don't see gospel shape to our own story. For these people, there was no one to help. No one except God, and God delivered them. And so even if we are in a prison, a physical prison, or perhaps some other kind of metaphorical prison where we feel completely trapped, we know that with God, our story can never be one of complete hopelessness and of complete loss and lack. So we must tell a thankful story of God's steadfast love. God shows steadfast love to wanderers. He shows steadfast love to prisoners. And then in this third section, verse 17 to 22, he shows steadfast love to sinful sufferers. So you have the problem again. Hopefully you're seeing this pattern. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. So we're not sure precisely what they did that was foolish. But whatever it is that they've done, it appears that the result is that they are sick. They are near to death. They're drawing near to the gates of death in their sickness. So there is a weakness here. Now we're not talking about people trapped by a prison, but a people whose body is breaking down and they can't do anything about it. Except for the one thing they do in verse 19. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. So again, they're crying out, and God delivers these people as well. Verse 20, he sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. So if you've been very ill, and then you get better, what ought you to do? Verse 4, let them thank... Oh, not verse 4, verse 21, point 4 of this little section. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. And so the people of God were to remember perhaps times when they had been sick and ill and they cry out to God and now they have health again. They should be thankful for that. Remember a wee while ago, I won't give lots of details, but I got quite ill. Stomach bug. And you get to that point where you're not looking after anybody else. You're just surviving and hoping that this thing is going to run its course. And so you just hold on, and then there's something about eating your first piece of bread that stays down. And you say, praise the Lord that white bread with a little bit of butter on it has stayed down. Now I know I'm on my way up again. We're to be thankful to God. So we have to be careful that we remember to tell thankful stories, that we don't move on quickly with our lives without ever noticing and thanking God. It appears at times that as churches and as individuals, we move from one worry to the next. Something comes up, we pray to God, we cry out to God, and he comes through. But we've already forgotten that we prayed about that because we're praying about the next thing, and we have not yet said thank you for the last prayer that he delivered us through that prayer. Always looking forward in despair. but never backwards in thankfulness. Never remembering the steadfast love of God. So what story will you tell? Do you recognize the gospel shape in your own story? We come then to the fourth group of people. Verse 23. The problem is this. They went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters, and they saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths, and their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. So Israelites, on the whole, didn't like going to sea. So probably what's happening here is they're being forced to go to sea as slaves. And they are in a storm. This description of going up to the heavens and plunging down into the depths. And they have no courage. It is melted away. Completely fearful. And they are reeling and staggering about. And it's literally in verse 27, their wit's end is that all their wisdom is swallowed up. They have no resources of their own anymore. In their fear. So that's the problem. And then they cry out in verse 28. They cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And then this deliverance is described in verse 29. He made the storm be still. The waves of the sea were hushed, and they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. They were terrified. They were freaked out, fearful. And God has delivered them. God calms the storm like only God can. And of course, Mark 4, Jesus himself being God stills that storm. So what should people who have been terrified, who have been at their wits' end, what ought they to do? In verse 31, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. I've never been thinking I'm going to die in a boat. I've been very ill in a boat, in the waves, and you get back to land and you sort of just lie down and wait for the land to stop moving, and you thank God that there's something still in this world. You're relieved. But I don't know if you can remember, when was the last time you were really scared, properly terrified? So you felt like you're losing your mind. You know you're not thinking straight anymore and your heart's beating and your palms are sweaty. I had a meeting a few weeks ago that I had to attend and it felt like that. My palms are sweaty. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm terrified. And then I move on because the meeting wasn't that bad. I thank God very briefly and move on. How many stories of me being terrified has God borne me through, and then I have carried on without saying thank you? So we should tell a thankful story of God's steadfast love. Be careful. Be careful of moving on and forgetting all that God has done for us and through us, all the ways that he's grown us and changed us and taken us through trials. What kind of story are you telling? And what story will you tell? So God shows steadfast love to wanderers, prisoners, sinful sufferers, scared sailors, and then finally, love to the needy. God shows steadfast love to the needy. This is verse 33 and down to 42. This is a more general section, and it's a story of reversals. So initially, you have the land that is being reversed in verse 33 to 35. He turns rivers to a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. And then he turns a desert to pools of water, a parched land to springs of water, and there he lets the hungry dwell and they establish a city to live in. And so you have this description of something that's flourishing and then that is turned to waste, and then something that is a wasteland is being turned into a flourishing place. And then it's not just the land, but it's also the people in 36 to 38. He lets the hungry dwell. They establish a city. They sow fields, plant vineyards, and get a fruitful yield. And so he is blessing the poor and the needy. And he is bringing low the powerful. Verse 41, he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their family like flocks. But it's the princes who are brought low and diminished. So there's this great reversal of those who are beaten down get brought up, and those who are up are brought down. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm reminded of the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus tells the parable of a rich man who eventually ends in Hades, in hell. And the poor man who had the dogs licking his sores is exalted and is at the right hand and in the bosom of Abraham. This great reversal of those who are poor and those who are rich. But God brings down the wicked and the proud, but he brings up the poor and the meek. And of course, the cross is the great reversal, isn't it? The great reversal in a sense of the most exalted humbling himself to the point of death and death on a cross. And yet, as Christ is in that tomb, you have the reversal. We're out of darkness and hopelessness and empty and sad situation. Salvation comes and Christ rises from the dead. So God shows steadfast love to the needy. So We've rushed through the psalm in a sense, and we're told at the end, whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. But what are we going to do with this? At the end of 2019, at the end of 10 years of this last decade, are you able to tell a thankful story? And I'm not saying you ignore the hard times, you gloss over them with dishonesty. Just ignore it, move on. But are you also able, if you look back and see difficult things, do you know God's faithfulness? Can you tell a story that has gospel context? Can you see the contours of the gospel in your own story? And how are we then to move towards telling a thankful story? If you find in your heart there is some reluctance, You think about pouring out thanks to God, but there's reluctance to go there for some reason. It feels painful to give thanks to God. How can we tell a thankful story? Verse 43, attend to these things. Mull over, meditate on, think on the way that God's steadfast love has never failed anyone who has called out to him. The Israelites at this point would be looking back at the redemption, the exodus out of Egypt, but also the redemption again out of exile. They look back and they were to remember God works redemption. He saves us. And for us, we also look back to our redemption, that we have been bought with a Christ, bought with a price by the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're to tell our own stories well, our own stories must be put in the context of the bigger story of the gospel. Let me explain it this way. You can't pick up a novel and start on page 73 and just start reading and make sense of what's going on. You have to read the whole way through to understand it. And in the same way, we don't do that with the Bible. We can't just turn to one page and read it and ignore everything around it. And I think it's the same with our own lives. See, as I look back on my relatively short life, which you'd have to say has been pretty well blessed, in the scheme of the human race, I've come out on top by God's providence. But even for me, as I look back at the sadness and the suffering and the things that go on, the pain that I've felt, the things I've seen, I cannot make sense of that without a bigger story of God who's made the world, who made a good world, and then we turned away from him, and yet Christ came and died for us, and this world is heading towards hope, a new creation, a new heavens, and a new earth. I need that context for me to then be able to look at the story of my life and see the grace of God and know that I'm heading towards hope and joy. See, if we don't tell our stories in context, we're telling them wrong. And we have to tell our story in the context of the steadfast love of God that never fails. We must all, in all of our lives, make sure as we look back, if you take some time as you come to New Year's, make sure that you look back and you say, I am thankful to God. I'm thankful to God for the way that He has brought me through. And if you cannot think of any specific thing, even like a cup of water, hopefully you get a cup of water, you thank God for that. But most of all, you say, I thank God that He sent Christ to die for me, to rise again. So I know one day I will be full of joy in the presence of God. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Christian, do you not have anything to be thankful for? Will you give Him thanks this New Year's holiday period? We must tell a thankful story of God's steadfast love. If your hope is not in Christ this morning, you might wonder, what does this mean to me? Do I just try and be a more thankful person? Well, that might help you. The reality is that if you're not in Christ, then the ending of the story will be a bad ending for you. And so I would plead with each of you to consider Christ and His claims. Anyone who comes to Christ in faith will find that their story is only one ultimately of thanks at the end of all eternity if you trust in the Lord Jesus. So we must tell a thankful story of God's steadfast love. Let's pray together. Our Father, everything that we have trusted in that is not You has failed us. And yet You never fail. Not one of Your promises has fallen to the ground unfulfilled. All that You have said You will do, You have done. And so, Lord, we are witnesses of Your faithfulness throughout history and, Lord, even in our lives, that You have never left us or forsaken us. That You have been a shepherd to us all our life long, even until now. And Lord, we pray that You would continue with us, continue to be our shepherd. And we give You thanks, we give You praise for all that You have done. And we pray that You would make us people who know how to praise You and how to give You the thanks that You deserve. And so we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.